This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Asking yourselves, is this a Sunday morning or is this a Friday morning? Is this even Power 98.7 or is it that other station there on the other side of the highway? What is going on? Sounds and stuff like that. That's what's going on this morning. Can you imagine a Sunday morning without Wilson B. Nkosi? He is as regular and as warming as the sun itself. He is there for all seasons since 1986, a feature in our broadcast landscape and a voice in our homes. A media entrepreneur, an advertiser. They call him a DJ. I don't think that's right. He's a doyen of South African radio and broadcasting. And not only are you a doyen, you're a legend.
Wow.
A living legend.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Lerato. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being in the spotlight on Power Talk this Friday.
Thank you for inviting me.
I feel like I'm listening to the radio.
Because you are on the radio.
Oh my gosh, that's exactly how you sound on the radio. This is crazy. Oh, Wilson B. Nkosi. And I love how you go, Wilson Bafana Nkosi.
Yes.
Okay, so 1986 is really sort of when it all began for you, when you sort of made your foray officially into radio. Did you always know that's what you wanted to do?
Absolutely. That's what I wanted to do. I don't know whether, and I didn't know whether I was going to do it or not, but that's all I wanted to do. From the moment I learned that every man shall eat only after the sweat from his brow, I made three career choices. The first choice was radio. The second choice was radio. And the third choice was radio.
And it continues to be your chosen profession.
That's correct. But carefully, carefully chosen.
How do you curate a career then?
I don't have all the answers to all of life's questions, Lerato. But I will tell you this much. When I approached the SABC and Metro FM was about to be launched.
Yeah.
The odds were against me.
Why?
Because I had 0.0 radio or broadcasting experience. And the people who were going to be on Radio Metro, as we called it then, were all very experienced people. They had been on radio for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. They were carefully chosen to be on Radio Metro. And so here I came with 0.0 broadcasting experience. But not only that. Metro FM is unapologetically urban.
Okay.
And I'm semi-urban. So I didn't tick that box.
You were semi-urban, or you consider yourself semi-urban even right now?
I am semi-urban because of where I come from. So where I come from dictates that I'm not entirely urban.
Mpumalanga.
Swaziland.
Swaziland, right.
Correct, correct. And I talk of the odds against me. And I was an outsider. But also, I didn't talk much. I didn't tell them when I applied for the job that I don't talk much because I didn't want to shoot myself in the foot. I'm not very good at shooting myself in the foot.
Okay.
They only learned about that later. But when I came in, I didn't tell them that I don't talk much. So if you look at it all, I don't really tick all the boxes. At least I didn't then. I've learned a few things over the years.
Very controlled speech. Is that because you don't talk so much, so you choose your words?
So I do a lot of listening, and I do a lot of observing, and a fair amount of reading. In fact, that's exactly what I did when I joined Radio Metro. To close the gap between myself and everyone else, I had to do what comes naturally to me. And that is observing, listening, and reading. And I read a lot. I know when you listen to the radio, it doesn't sound like I read.
Oh, it does. Maya Angelou quotes for days.
Oh, so someone listens to the show.
Okay.
Thank you. So, and Metro FM, or Radio Metro then, employed me strictly on potential.
Okay.
I had nothing to offer other than they saw potential. At least that's what I learned years later. In fact, this question was answered by our founding station manager, Mr. Kuos Hadebe, exactly 2 years ago. Exactly 2 years ago. More Flavor, our breakfast show anchor, asked Mr. Hadebe what he saw in me that made him employ me.
Yeah.
And Mr. Hadebe said he sounded different. We didn't want a duplicate. We already had people who sounded a certain way. And so he sounded different.
So you had an X factor working for you. Yes, because that unique component is the X factor.
Maybe. Thank you.
It is so. All right. So I've always thought, you know, because we know you've got Swati roots, but I think the urban legend is that you're from Mpumalanga, not actually Swaziland, and I don't even know if it matters, really.
It shouldn't matter, but let me tell you. So, I come from Swaziland. But just before I was born, as was the case with all my siblings, my mother would go to Pietretief, which is just across
the
border, just on the other side. It's a stone's throw away, literally a stone's throw away. And that's where I was born.
Uh-huh.
And then I think 3 or 4 days later, I was back home. But that was the case with all my siblings, all of us, because my mother's mother lived in Pietretief.
Uh-huh.
So that's where Mpumalanga features in my life.
Okay, I understand it now. And Pietretief has another doyen of music, Pretiende.
Yeah, yes, yes, yes.
So Pietretief, ya producer. So what many people might not know is that actually your career, your Monday to Fridays, for many, many years, were in the advertising industry. And I want to know to what extent that complemented your radio know-how, the broadcaster you became, working in the copyright, writing rich creative advertising space.
Yeah, there's a thin line between the two. They complement each other very, very much so. In fact, what people may not know is that I've been doing advertising for as long as I've been doing radio. From the moment I did radio and television, I also did advertising. I realized at an early age that I don't own radio. It can be taken away from me any time. And I needed to do something that, I could own.
Okay.
And so I went for advertising. At first, I got into advertising as a learner because I come into this world not knowing much, if anything at all. I'm a learner. And so that's how I approached advertising from day one. The way it started, the advertising, I didn't look for advertising. I looked for radio, but not advertising. Advertising came to me. First few months of my radio work, I was offered work as a voiceover artist.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's how it all started. But, you know, every time I'd get the script and I'd look at it and I feel, you know, something could be tweaked and something could be slightly rephrased. And so I have an inquiring mind. I'm very curious. And so I thought I could do this. And I remember walking into a studio not knowing anything about copywriting.
Right.
But asking the people in charge if we could change one or two things.
Yes.
And then I realized that maybe, just maybe, I could find a place there. And so I did, and I've been doing that for 35 years now. At first, I was employed as a copywriter and producer.
Right.
And I've worked with just about every ad agency you can think of. But later, I started working with them, not for them, but with them. There's a difference.
And that's actually where your media entrepreneurship comes to the fore, because you own a communications company, don't
you? That's correct.
Uh-huh. And what do you do with Wilson B. Nkosi Communications?
So I'm employed by Wilson B. Nkosi Communications.
I think that's an important thing, because people think if you're a business owner, you shouldn't really pay yourself a salary and stick to that sort of rigid employment contract structure.
Yeah. No. I'm an employee at Wilson B. Nkosi Communications. I do a whole lot of things, and other people do a whole lot of things. It's a team effort, because I've learned that teamwork is what it takes to achieve success. And so we write and produce commercials, mainly radio commercials, but we also do television commercials, but it's mainly radio commercials. So that's exactly what happens, you know. I'm a broadcaster first.
Yeah.
A voiceover artist second. A copywriter third.
Uh-huh.
A producer fourth, in that particular order.
So at Wilson B. Nkosi Communications, you have a senior producer who says to you, "No, not like this," and you take it.
They call me to order, and I oblige.
Perhaps you'll recognize this voice note after the bag. Okay, after the bag, perhaps you'll recognize this voice.
I'm all ears.
You're listening to Lerato Mbele on Power 98.7.
Hi, Wilson. I've known you for decades as a radio and TV voice artist. A very good one, too. And, of course, a great radio presenter. Is Marvin Gaye still your favorite? You are very consistent in your work. Attention to detail has always been your strong point, and you are very disciplined. You know, in advertising, time is of the essence, and you are a very good timekeeper. You are a very dependable person. Lovely, lovely to hear your voice once again. Wilson B. Nkosi. I've always said, what does B stand for? Hi, Mam Louis stands for Bafana. Okay, keep up the good work.
That's his Gloria. These are people who held my hand in advertising when I started. She was there. She still is there. And memories come back. Fond memories come back. She's one of those people. truly, truly so for years.
And she's very kind of dedicated. It is her passion, her calling. I think of Uncle Peter Vundla and many of them. And, you know, we wonder, or well, we don't wonder, but we watch ads on TV, we laugh, we like some. But what we don't understand is there's a whole team of people who are crafting the stories of who we are as a people, correcting the stereotypes that negate who we are as a people. And it is all of you people in the advertising industry saying, no, a black person wouldn't laugh like that, wouldn't talk like that, wouldn't walk into a room and just do that. And that's the power of advertising. And this is why it's so important for us to see many, many more Wilson B. Nkosi communications agencies, what used to be a Herd Boys, what is now the Avatar Group, and many other, because it's in a simple 30-second ad that an entire identity of a people can be degraded, denigrated, and nullified.
Absolutely. What Sis Gloria didn't tell you is that I give them problems in the studio. I give producers problems in the studio, because when I get that script, the copywriter in me kicks in to say, can we not rephrase this or change that,
and
not everyone likes that, but you know, it's all in an effort to improve the idea, the concept. You mentioned Herd Boys. Very early in the 90s I got to work with them. Well, that's when I started working with them. They also gave me a chance. Peter Vundla, Happy Njingela and company. And for years and years and years, I did some work for Herd Boys. And they would later be Herd Boys McCann Erickson.
Yes.
Yeah. So I do acknowledge the fact that Herd Boys played a very, very important role in my advertising career. Not only as a copywriter, but as an overall advertising practitioner.
A little bit about advertising, and you know, we think the media, as in news media, shapes narratives. I think advertising is right up there in deciding how a society views itself. Because if you have an ad, for instance, that reinforces that the mum cooks in the kitchen whilst the dad reads the newspaper, you're saying something about the society you're living in.
Yeah, so advertising is like the media, really. It influences human thinking and the line of thinking, and it makes people think a certain way. It does exactly that.
And so when you say you're correcting scripts, tweaking them, it's because for you, in that imagery, in that script, in how that story about that product is going to be told, it either affirms or takes away from a reality you know.
Yes, I always like to do things that honor reality with a slice of life element to it. So sometimes you'd get a script, and with all due respect to many writers, you feel, could this really be honored in real life? Or, you know, does it answer the brief? Because for every ad that you hear, and every ad that you see, there's a brief. And the question is, does it answer the brief? And there are times when, you know, it doesn't completely answer the brief. And that's where then, you know, some contribution may come in handy.
So if I said to you, hypothetically, give us a 30-second brief on any product, but that sort of tells us where South Africa's at today, what would you say that brief would be?
Well, it will be, what do we do to get out of this quagmire? What do we do to escape the place, this dark place that we find ourselves in? Give us hope in a hopeless world. Make us believe that things are going to get better, that this is not going to stay the way it is. So, in my humble opinion, it'll have to be an ad that arms people with knowledge and hope that things are going to get better, that the sun will rise and we will try again.
Whatever that product is.
Correct.
Soli Boy says, the first choice was radio, the second choice was radio, the third choice was radio. Oh, wow, that's Wilson B. Nkosi, 0.00% experience, but 100% potential. His work is immeasurable. We thank you for your life. Thank you, Power Talk. We celebrate the legends whilst they're still with us. Self-proclaimed prophetess says, ah, Lerato, I love Bra Wilson so much. I love it when he says, my family's favorite DJ, Wilson Bafana Nkosi. So many Sunday mornings spent with him. And Dee McKay, this comment really threw me. Dee McKay says, the most principled human being alive.
Speak up. Call the Power Line on 0861-987-000.
Just to see her, just to touch her, just to hold her in my arms again, one more time. If I could feel her warm embrace, see her smiling face, can't find anyone to take her place. I've got to see her again. I would do
else but Smokey Robinson. And the reason why we're playing Smokey Robinson, Marvin Gaye, is because not a Sunday will pass that you're listening to Wilson B. Nkosi on the radio and he doesn't play one of these two artists. For him, I don't know what it is about their music that is so enigmatic, that is so wholesale, but not a single show, not ever, that I've listened, that you will not hear a Smokey Robinson or a Marvin Gaye. We're in the spotlight. We're in conversation with Wilson B. Nkosi, arguably one of the most iconic radio personalities in our country. We grew up listening to a Wilson B. Nkosi. Our children now grow up listening to a Wilson B. Nkosi. And I think we can honestly say, what would a Sunday morning be in South Africa without Wilson B. Nkosi? The music he plays, his pearls of wisdom, his numerous quotes, and just thought, like, he's very, very deep, very deep. And you think to yourself, why on a Sunday morning, why are you having all these existential conversations, Wilson B. Nkosi?
Because we're a broad church, we're in church. Well, like that other organization, you know, what a pro church.
Because you do that in your slot, don't you?
I couldn't you do quote, anything else, yeah.
You quote Maya Angelou, you love her very, very much. You find sort of stories about the question of life. You could even quote Voltaire for all we care on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, simply because I've always believe that there has to be content. The music alone is not nearly enough for me. There has to be something that complements the music. Because anyone can play the music. I can give you 5 CDs. I can give him 5 CDs. And we play the CDs. But, you know, we haven't made the music. Smokey Robinson made the music. Aretha Franklin made the music. Luther Vandross made the music. Phyllis Hyman made the music. Whitney Houston made the music. What are we making in the process? What are we doing to complement what they've already done? So the music alone, in my opinion, is not nearly enough. It needs something. It needs something to complement it. Mm-hmm. And that's where the bits and pieces come in. Content, I think, is very, very important.
When you're not on the radio, are you having these very deep, meaningful conversations with yourself? It sounds to me like you are. I often wonder if you're even talking to us or if you're just having a conversation with all the elements of your mind coming together on the radio, where you think, you know, today I want to reflect on kindness, or this Sunday I want to talk about hope, because those are your themes.
Correct.
In this, your church.
Hope is very important for me. You know, we have to keep hope alive in a hopeless world,
yeah.
Especially at the moment. There's nothing really to be cheerful about. There's not much to be excited about, and that's where the question of hope kicks in to say things will get better. That ngeke kuhlale kunje.
Yeah. And tell me about...
So to answer your question, I think out loud.
You do. You really do. But we love it. Pearls of Wisdom.
Thank you.
Your love of Marvin Gaye, it's even borderline obsessive, I think. Because you always say you call him dad, like the father of soul.
Correct. He was the prince of Motown. I love the musicianship. I love the rare talent. He said he would like to be remembered as one of the 12 music disciples that ever walked the face of the earth. Correct. And I'm quoting him verbatim. One of the 12 music disciples to have ever walked the face of the earth. And when you listen to his music, you pick that up. I mean, What's Going On came out in 1971.
I wasn't born.
To this day, it is relevant.
Yeah.
It addresses the human condition,
yeah.
Question.
Yeah.
It is about global warming,
yes.
As we've come to know it.
This ain't living.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
In the very same album, he addresses the question of police brutality,
yes.
Of famine, hunger the world over, and what's going on. If you listen to all those songs, they each address something to do with the human condition. It's not lovey-dovey music. Nothing wrong with lovey-dovey music. I love it. But there's also another element to life,
yeah.
And that is the human condition,
yeah.
That which makes us a better people today than we were yesterday. So when you listen to, for instance, What's Going On, I mean, it's like you're reading a book. Literally, it's like you're reading a book.
Mm.
You know, you'll hear about matters pertaining to the environment. You'll hear about political matters, you know.
Racial injustice, poverty.
Everything,
equality, yeah.
Everything is in there.
Yeah.
And the question is, what are we doing? War is not the answer. I mean, there's war all over the world.
Yeah.
And he says war is not the answer. Well, we all know that.
And then Smokey Robinson, that's a little bit lovey-dovey. So is that the romantic you?
Is the lover in me? In the Smokey Robinson, again, I like, there are certain things that I like in different people.
Right.
What they bring to the party. He brings to the party loyalty. If you follow the Motown story,
yeah.
He was there from day one with Berry Gordy.
Yes.
But he is a trusted general through and through. And he and Berry Gordy have this unshakable and unbreakable bond.
Mm.
And it's a long story, but the long and short of it is that years later, Berry Gordy would make him his vice president.
Okay.
But that had to do with the way he showed loyalty to Berry Gordy.
So all I know about Berry Gordy is he was once married to Diana Ross.
So they have a kid together, Rockwell. They were not really married. They were just playing adult games.
I see.
And then Rockwell came up and, you know. And,
I see.
Yeah. Diana Ross, another star, the galaxy of stars from Motown.
Oh, man.
But Smokey Robinson, they will tell you, those in the know, that if you want anything from Berry Gordy, speak to Smokey Robinson. Because even if you don't, Berry Gordy would want to know how Smokey Robinson feels.
Mm.
But more than anything else, just to answer your question, long and short of it is, I like the loyalty that Smokey Robinson brings
to
the party. Yeah, there's a lot of, he brings in a certain degree of honesty in what he does.
Is that important to you?
Very important. but very, very important. You can take everything away, but give me loyalty. I can work with that. Give me honesty. I can work with that. I don't ask for much. Even in friendship, I have no expectations. I have no sense of entitlement. But I have one expectation, and that is you'll watch my back and I will watch yours. If you cannot watch my back, you have no reason to be my friend. And if I cannot watch your back, you have no reason to be my friend. That's the least, the bare minimum to be loyal.
Still I rise. Did you want to see me broken? Bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries. Does my sassiness upset you? Don't take it so hard just because I laugh, as if I have gold mines digging in my own backyard. You can shoot me with your words. You can cut me with your lies. You can kill me with your hatefulness. But just like life, I rise. Does my sexiness offend you? Oh. Does it come as a surprise that I dance? As if I have diamonds at the meeting of my thighs. Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past rooted in pain, I rise.
Prolific poet, social commentator, artist, writer, teacher, Maya Angelou. What is the title of a book? I Know Why the Cage Bird Sings, because it has a song, she says.
Correct. Still I rise. Like dust, still I rise. She's a full human being. I say she is because her spirit lives. I mean, if this doesn't touch you, what does?
Hmm. Who are the women in music who touch you the way a Smokey Robinson for his character or a Marvin Gaye for his message have done?
Aretha Franklin is up there with the best. There'll be a Dionne Warwick.
Oh, yes, you do like her.
Yes, yes, I do. There will be a Patti LaBelle, Miss Patti LaBelle.
Oh, yes.
The list is endless. Somewhere along the way, you find a Phyllis Hyman.
Mm-hmm.
There are plenty. Way too many to count. But the few that I've mentioned spring to mind effortlessly.
You're sounding like Barack Obama to me now, because when you look at his playlist, it's got a lot of these people whom you mention, and his values almost resonate with your values. I'm not saying you're an Obama mini-me, but I'm definitely saying that there's something perhaps about men of that generation.
Yeah, maybe.
Would he be a dinner guest for you?
Absolutely, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the way, I'll rope in, I know this is predictable, but I'll rope in Mr. Mandela.
Okay.
Somewhere along the way, I'll rope in Sidney Poitier.
Hey.
I'll have Harry Belafonte there. I'll have Kofi Annan there.
Substance. Game changers, world changers. The UN Secretary General, the first black American president or African American president, a first statesman for South Africa, Nobel laureates, Kofi Annan, first, as I said, Secretary General of the UN, Harry Belafonte, musician and activist through music. Okay.
Sidney Poitier.
First African to win, African American to win an Oscar.
That's correct. I describe him as the father who brought me up from a distance.
Hmm.
I'm a learner, and I observe, and I've observed how some people live their lives. And I've always wanted to be a small part of that. I could never be that, but I lack what they represent as human beings
most
in life.
Most of these men, neat, firstly, and they live their lives in a tidy way. And what do I mean by that? No real scandal attached to an Obama, a Kofi Annan, a Sidney Poitier. Focused on the job at hand, speaking truth to power, no philandering, none of that stuff.
They're leaders of men.
That's what you like.
Quote that, leaders of men. It's not an original quote. I picked that up somewhere. It appeals to me. It resonates with me.
Amadote madudini type thing.
Correct.
Okay, so Shocks Lusibani says, Siyabonga mlangeni lomuhle. Paswana says, there's something about Wilson being gauzy. I just had to park my car on the side of the road to listen to this interview. He's got presence, says Paswana. Mwekezi Muleko says, Lerato, Wilson introduced himself so well, and that intro should feature in Who Am I this coming Sunday. He has saved so many people's lives through music and poetry. Oh, that's profound.
Yes, but it gives me way too much credit.
You have saved people's lives. I think some of you media personalities really underestimate what a profound impact you have in people's lives. You know, Zizo Chwete, we were at a function for Sisinoxolo Groepboom, and we were all asked to say something. Anela Mdoda assembled us to say something about Sisinoxolo. And Zizo said something I'll never forget. And she said, Sisinoxolo, every night when you said to someone, Ngintanda nonke makhaya, you must know that for some people it was the only time ever that they heard, I love you.
Yeah.
Because nobody in their midst would say, I love you. And you know, that stuck with me. And so this is what we mean by the power, the prophetic power of the work that you do. Those quotes, the words you speak, for you, they may just signify something going on in your life at the moment, or it may just be an appealing array of words. But it is how you put it all together that touches someone, perhaps for the first and only time in their lives. So when someone says you've saved many people's lives, please don't take that for granted.
Oh, thank you. I'll tell you what my approach is. My approach is, because life tests us in different ways, even in our hour of need, in our darkest moments, in dark places, I want to know that when you tune into the radio, your cup may be half empty, but I want to know that by the time I leave, if it is not full, then it is half full.
Oh, wonderful.
From being half empty to being half full, which means that we are on our way up.
And you've changed the perspective, the prism from which somebody would view their lives, from scarcity to wholeness.
I always want to know that someone who tunes in feels it was worth their time too, because they don't owe me that.
Landless black vendor man says, Hi, Lerato. It can never be a great Sunday without a choice of classics by Bra Wilson being gauzy. I love the fact that he never forgets my brother, Justice Lebopa's birthday. He would play Carl Anderson just to cheer up our day. He is a great man. That intimacy with your listeners. The great Grant Shakwane described Wilson as the last man standing. How was the working relationship between the two of you?
So, Grant Shakwane was my spiritual brother. When I came to Metro FM, when Metro FM started, I had a great deal of support from many, many quarters. But there's one who seemed to love me the most. That was Grant William Shakwane. For some reason, I mean, I got on well with everyone. I mean, like everyone. But Grant Shakwane seemed to be the one that I felt his presence. I would later learn that he and I share a birthday.
Ah.
Correct. And we would travel to Swaziland together. We would travel to Limpopo together. Mm. I've told this story before, but I will tell it again. And if you've heard it before, pardon me for repeating myself. But years ago, about 30 years ago, we were living in Midrand at the time. So he visited, and my parents were there, and he started talking to them. And he was speaking in Siswati, broken Siswati, but they understood everything that he was saying. And from then on, I ceased to be my family's favorite DJ. Grand Shakwane suddenly was the favorite. Because they would always ask, where is Shakwane? Where is Shakwane? To answer your question, he was my brother.
Oh, Shibabadoo.
He was always, always kind to me from day one. So were all the others, yeah. But particularly him. I don't know what it was, but for some reason it was. Can I tell you something? Years ago, we're in a studio, and some people will bear me out here. He said, when I pass on, I want Wilson to be in charge of the process.
Oh, wow.
Ask Tom Patswa. He was there. We're in a recording studio. This is about 6 years ago. And he said, mine will be handled by Wilson Binkosi, and that's it.
Because he knows me that well.
Grand Shakwane and I got on very, very well.
I want to say now, Shibabadu, Shibabu.
Yes.
Bui and Ramberg, good day.
Good day. Ah, hey. Thank you so much, Wilson. Thank you for being loyal to us. Thank you for living a loyal life. Thank you for being a lover to and a loved. Thank you for being the brother to the brotherless. Thank you for being you. You are so amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Bui.
And Kerry Chase says, Mr. Nkosi, what more can we ask for? That man is Sunday music personified, and still, that even when he plays at soul sessions, I listened to him at Lakari before. Lerato, please ask him about Jam Alley and why the early exit. Jam Alley?
Jam Alley. I see Jam Alley as one of the mistakes that I've made in my career. So I masterminded my way out. I actually asked them to relieve me, and they didn't want to. And so I masterminded my exit.
Uh-huh. What did you do? You just muffled your lines on set and they said, get out of here.
And I did things that would make them say, maybe he shouldn't come back.
Okay.
I didn't want to do the show. I didn't want to do the show because I didn't see myself playing that role.
Yeah.
It wasn't me. So I asked them if they could let me go,
okay.
And they were not prepared to.
Yeah.
But it got to a point where it was such that they just had to
attrition.
You created attrition.
Freddie Lizualo says, what Wilson Binkosi said about friendship, true friendship is honesty. Sometimes brutal. That's having one's back. I call it kapa and always invoke that during conflicts. What a disclaimer. No, I've fallen once. You don't feel my back. If you don't have my back, you have no business being my friend, says Koketso. And if I don't have your back, I have no business being your friend. I love that, Lerato. What a great show. What great wisdom from Ndate Wilson Binkosi. I don't know how I expected him to sound, says this one. But he really sounds like himself. What a treat. Dumedisa Ndate Wilson Lerato, says Debeu. I wasn't expecting you to sound like exactly on the radio. And then Tabi Singh says, Lerato, don't forget his love for Charles Barkley.
That must be a basketball person.
Okay, so as we wind down the conversation, for us, there was nothing to say except thank you. Except please know, South Africa loves you. And it's a love affair that has continued for more than 30 years.
Thank you.
And if God grants you life, longevity, it will be a lifelong love affair.
I appreciate that.
And even though you come from a rival station, there is no justification for us not to have you here.
Thank you.
Because what brings you here is that you are greater than all of us. And we want to say thank you.
Thank you.
And the song with which we end is an artist loved by many South Africans, and I know you play him a lot. And the message in it is very simple. A structure is just a house, but a house is not a home. And you've given South Africans a home on your platform.
Thank you for having me. We'll be right back.
a chair is still a chair. Even when there's no one sitting there. But a chair is not a house. And a house is not a home when there's no one there to hold you tight and no one there. Good night. Oh, yeah. A room is still a room. There's nothing there but gloom. But a room is not a house, and a house is not a home when the two of us are far apart and one of us.
The king of radio soul. No rhyme, no reason. Just Wilson B. Nkosi.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.